Okay, so we should be ready to start. I'm going to be showing this. I don't know if Dipti shows it, but I like to show the kind of rundown. So we started last week talking a little bit about databases, database systems. We didn't say so much about relational databases, but we did talk about web architectures and how database applications could or would look like within a web application architecture. This week, we're going to be focusing on developing database systems or applications. Starting today, going through PHP and a little bit about the application architecture. And then on Thursday, we're going to go specifically into how to program applications that would get data from the database, connect to the database, get data from the database, and also modify or insert data in the database. So that's going to be on Thursday. And then next week, we're going to continue, and we're going to be focusing on the testing and a little bit on the larger perspective. How do we develop these applications? What's the process? And most importantly, how do we test this type of software? So, first, I make mistakes all the time, so I'm just going to apologize for a few things that have an impact on you. Firstly, I don't know, on Thursday, during the lecture, I had a feeling that it was quite overwhelming. I thought it was a good idea to take examples from the assignment, but it is a lot of there are lots of files and a lot of concepts, so I realized as I was doing it that it might be quite confusing. That was I'm sorry for that. That was not the purpose, but I think that was the result anyway. So we're going to have much more time today and on Thursday going through this, and please tell me and stop me if it's we start to get the confusing state again. I hope also that you, since Thursday, you have been able to look a little bit into the code and is a little bit more familiar with the setup, with all the files and everything that's happening inside the app. So hopefully gradually it's not so confusing just because you know more about it. In the assignment one, some of you have already come to the point where you do some acceptance testing, and some of the acceptance tests would fail if you follow the assignment one text as it was, because if you've gone through that already, you know that you need to insert some entries into the YAML files to tell the codeception where the database is, and in the text it described how to do this for the unit YAML file. But the thing is that, as we're going to talk about next week, the acceptance tests also need to connect to the database, because what the codeception is doing is, after every test, it will clean out the database, delete everything that the test has changed to the database, and recreate the database as it was at the beginning of the test. So the tests assume that the database is clean. Now, when we don't have a connection to the database, codeception can clean it. So that's why some of the tests would fail. So if you download the newest assignment text, it's described, but otherwise what you could do is just put the same database entry that you put into the unit YAML file and put the same entry into the acceptance test file. Then the test would work. And there are still blanks in the assignment when it comes to who the TAs are. I have meetings with the last two TAs today, so hopefully by the end of the day I can put out the name so you know who the TAs will be. But one of the TAs has already been in the lab, and you will see the other ones hopefully as well, at least one of them tomorrow, and then both of them, or all three of them actually, on Thursday. I hope that's okay. It's not ideal, but I think that's as much as we could do. And I have some help from some of my colleagues trying to find even more TAs, so hopefully we can boost that up as well. Any other issues, problems, concerns? Was the last week too overwhelming, or you survived pretty okay? The those are here probably survived. I don't know what happened to the other ones. I don't know if they died or what happened. Okay. So, how many of you have actually played with PHP by now? Worked a little bit with tutorial and everything? Yeah, so up to a little bit more than half of you. Maybe the other half is just a little bit... I don't want to reveal that they actually spent some time in the case I might ask you questions about something. I'm not going to do that. But what I plan on, and I hope that you spent the morning playing the video from last year, or doing the tutorial, or whatever that was relevant. Because what I'm going to do now is not introduce PHP the way I did last year. I hope you already looked through that. So we're going to go through some actual code and go through and show you some of the specifics of PHP. And hopefully, by doing that, you get to see a little bit of how we work with PHP when we program it. So the things I'm going to be showing you and we're going to talk about, or maybe I'm going to do most of the talking and you're going to be listening, but hopefully you have some comments and input as well. Talk a little bit about strings, because PHP can be used for many things, but since we use it for database operations and web apps, string handling is important because we're going to communicate with the users, we're going to communicate with the database, and this is all quite a lot string-based. Say a little bit about how to mix PHP and HTML code, because you can see that the PHP scripts would sometimes do some processing, get some data, but sometimes it will also present that. So if you look at all the view classes, the classes of the application assignment view, they are all very much about how to format text and information in HTML form to the end user. We're going to talk about arrays, because when we talk about PDO on Thursday, it's quite common that the data we get from a database, we will store it in an array. And also, the session model that we have, the session event model, if you looked at it, it stores information about events in an array that's stored inside the session object. And then when we have arrays, there's something new in PHP that you haven't seen before, and that's a way to loop through all elements by using for each. Rather than the standard C++ for loop, we have a for each loop that can run through the whole array, and we'll talk about that. Then there are some global variables inside PHP that we could use to get session object, anything we stored on the session object, anything that the user passed in the GET request. And if you remember from last year, what is passed in the GET request? When you write a URL, what is going to end up in the GET as a GET parameter? You remember? Could you be more specific about parameters in the URL? In what part of the URL? Yeah, the query string. What's after the question mark? So the query string after the question mark. So the query string, you have a question mark and then a query string. When you say what field and then what the value. And then you have an ampersand that separates what the various parameters. That's right. So if you have a GET, then whatever you put in the query string will then appear. If you have a form and we do a POST method, then the parameters are going to appear. So we're going to play a little bit and get familiar with that. You haven't dealt with exceptions before, I think. Some of you have you? How many have actually programmed code where you have dealt with exceptions? Okay, about a third, maybe less. So we'll do a little bit of an introduction to exceptions and exception handling, because that's the way we deal with database problems. So when we interact with database, if something happens on the database, we would like that to be handled by exceptions. So now we want to go to say a little bit about, but exceptions are general, so we could use it for any general purpose. And then there are two variables that we can use in the code that you will see in the code that you have to use in the code, and that is the this pointer, which is a reference to the current object, and it's the self pointer, which is a reference to the class that the current object comes from. So that's pretty much what I plan on doing. This is not a full coverage of PHP. This is not necessarily even what you need to understand to be able to do the assignment, but at least it helps you on the way, get into it. And if you go through the tutorials and if you play with the code and experiment a little bit, hopefully you get to understand as much as you need. And if there's anything, of course, talk to me or TAs whenever. You know who they are. Okay. Before we go on, what if you brought your computer and if you would like to try yourself some of these exercises that we have, if you go to, if you go here to the Blackboard, so what I just uploaded before I came here is if you go Blackboard under Learning Materials, at the very bottom of Learning Materials we have the whatever resources we are using, and then I have code samples used in lectures. If you download that zip file, PHP exercises zip, on your computer now, then you can play around with the exercises yourself as well. You don't have to just look at what I'm doing on the computer here. If you rather like to make notes and look, then you can download these examples later on and play with them after we're done. So I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes in the case you'd like to download it now. Otherwise, we'll continue in a while. Let's see, we'll start with the strings. Anyone like me to pause for longer, or we can go ahead? No one needs more time. Okay, so now the two things we're going to be looking at when we come to strings would be the use of quotes, single, double quote, whether they are the same or different, and what we can expect when they use these different types of quotes. And then with strings we need to concatenate. And in PHP we have a concatenation operator that is different from what you have seen before, most likely. So this is the example. Is it we can make it this big. Is it okay now? The size is good? I don't think it was a very sharp display, but maybe my eyes are old, but I don't think it's very sharp, but I can't do much about that. But if the font is big enough, I could probably chosen some different colors. But this is the pre-selected color. Now, this might be confusing because I haven't talked much about arrays yet. I'm still using some array examples here, but that's we should work that out. I think that's not too complex. So what this script is doing, give you 2 seconds to read it and say what you think it will be doing. So the first thing is that the dollar sign that we see here is what PHP is using to say that what comes after is the name of a variable. PHP doesn't have any type declaration, so that or variable declaration. So we don't declare variables, we just start using them. And for PHP to know whether this is a variable or a function name or a constant, it needs some clue. And in PHP, that clue is the dollar sign. You're going to forget about it and get strange messages and say, oh, the constant isn't known or something. So just the first thing, if you have a syntax error, just look for the dollar signs first. You need dollar signs in front of every variable name. So the first one is a floating or double variable. So we don't declare what type it is, we just assign the value. And this is an array. And the array is different from what you've seen before. Because you see here there is a value which is called the key. And then it's kind of an arrow showing what this key is mapped to. So this is kind of a map. So if you use Java, for instance, you have maps as a data structure, and the associative arrays, we're going to come back to it. It means that the key here to get the value is A, and B would return the value B. So for instance here, when I refer to array with the key B, I would get this value returned. So I can use numeric indexes, 0 through whatever number, but I could also use texts as the key element for an array. But that is not the important thing. The important thing here is this text that I'm printing out here. And in this text, you can see I've broken into several lines, and the way to concatenate these individual strings is to use the dot operator. So in PHP, to connect or to concatenate two strings, we use dot in between. So now this could have been a variable. These are all constant strings, but one of these could be the variable. So if I here had dot and then val, what will happen is that this value, which is a floating number or a double number, will be converted to the string representation, and the string will be concatenated with this. So if we inside the string would like to print a variable value, we can use the dollar and then the variable name to get the content directly if we use double quotes. So inside the double quote string, which it will be constant, we can use the val here. Now it might be confusing that I have single quotes there, but those single quotes is just something I would like to have printed. They are not part of anything other than I like to see the single quote output. I'll show you the result in a while. Sometimes we have something more complex than just a variable name. We may have a class member variable or the result of a class function, or we may have the array element, not the array itself, array element. So here, if I like to include the value that B is the key of, then I can't just write R here, because then it would look for a PHP would look for variable R. But if I use the curly braces around something inside a text constant means that this is something that PHP should execute. This is a more complex statement. So what will happen here is that when it gets to the braces, say, okay, this is something, a complex structure, it will find that, okay, this is an array, and that array, I'm going to find the B element, and I'm going to print out the value of the B key. You follow me? So if I go to here, now to run this, this is my working directory. Oh, okay, this was not very big. Can you at all see this? No, you can't. So let me see if I can make this. Sorry, I should have thought about that before. Better or even bigger? Make it bigger. Now we start talking. This looks okay to everyone? So on my computer, the NTNU local directory on the C drive is my root directory for all my projects. And then for IMT25Z1, I keep all the code in that subdirectory. And this morning, I created this subdirectory for the exercises. So that's where I keep it here. So now, if I would like to run the strings example that we just had, it looks like this. We have some text, a blank empty line, and then some more text and some tags, and we have some various types of information. And the formatting, you see inside the string here, we could use new lines. and return. So you know that from C++, you could format by having a new line, by having tabs. So you have some escape sequences here. And here it says after some text, there will be two new lines. And after the NP there, there will be another line. So if you look at the output, that's what we see here. Some text, and then we have two blanks, and then we have the other lines. And the content, you see here, these are the single quotes I talked about. So this is the value that's from the first variable, and this is the value from the array with the key B. You follow me? So if you look at the source code, maybe it would be good if you could have them both there at the same time, but let me do this. Let's see. Oops, not this way. Oh, no. It's too smart. Okay, now you can see both at the same time. So we see the sum text down here is the first part here. And then you have two new lines, that's what we get down here. And then the val inside the single quotes will be 1.2 because that's what we assigned to here. And the more complex expression, it will get the array called with the variable r, and it will get the element where the key is b. That's what it will print out. Now, if we would like to see this, how this would look like on the web server, we need to get it to htdocs, which is the root directory of the web server. So I need to copy this to where I keep, sorry. Where I keep the web server. So I copied there, and I already have a copy. Now the question is, when I open the web here, will I see the same thing? Let me just make this a bit bigger, should I? Okay, you can see this. But I'm trying to open the same. So let's make it smaller again. So this is the output when we run it on the console. Now the question here, if I open this, is will it look the same? What do you think? Almost. That's a good answer. Well, the thing is that formatting is going to be different. Content is going to be the same. Formatting is different. So this is... view page source. You see the NP tag says that up to this point there was a paragraph. So it will interpret this as text. So formatting is different. But not so different in this case. You see here... these new lines here are gone. You don't see the new lines here. They are in the source code. You can see it here in the source that there are new lines, but HTML doesn't ignore blanks. But since we have the NP here, it says that, okay, there should be a paragraph here. So here there will be a paragraph. That's why you have this paragraph in here. But you don't see the, so whatever new lines you put into your code, it will not be visible on HTML because HTML has its own formatting. So if you like breaks, you need to do BR. If you like paragraphs, you need to do P. Question? If I didn't have the curly brackets? Yeah, well, let's try. What happens if I remove the curly brackets from here? What do you think will happen? some sort of error, or nothing. With PHP, we don't know. So, sometimes it's just quiet. It shows you something, not what you expect, but something. And sometimes it shows you something else. Let's run it here. Did I store it? No, I didn't. Okay, so it was expecting something. Because what it says down here is that syntax error, because now this syntax error, because I can't use this anymore, because, expecting or identifier line 7. It gets hiccups at least. I won't try to say why it gets this string message. But the thing is that it can't evaluate that expression. So it doesn't expect us to have an expression. So if we do put it in the braces, it says this is an expression that I can evaluate. Otherwise it gets some hiccups. It depends on very much what the text looks like. But to get it to be evaluated, you need to put it in braces. Otherwise, you get these strange messages, typically. You okay with that? Other questions? I suggest a very good question. And I suggest that when you have these questions, when you work with this after the break and when you do work with PHP, just make that small script and try. See what happens. And then you understand. That's why I'm advocating exploration. Explore, practice, exercise. That's the way to learn these things. It's not to go to lectures or read manuals. It is to get familiar and say, okay, I think this is what's going to happen. And then you try and see if this is really what happens. The other thing that we want to look at is, I'm using single quotes. And here I'm using double quotes. Is there a difference? Or could I use single quotes everywhere? Or double quotes everywhere? Some of you may know. And some of you may not. So let's just give it a try. Say, I want to replace. And unfortunately, the atom is always... Sorry. It's always fighting with me when I want to make a single quote. Because it wants to make two to match them. Okay. Now, can I use single quotes and double quotes for the same purpose? Can I? Because I could use either. You can see that. I could use either. I could use single quotes, I could use double quotes. Now the question is, will they do the same thing? In some languages it will. In PHP, it's open until we test it. So before I'm going to store this and we'll run it, what do you think will happen? Error. So, do we get an error? That's one alternative. Other suggestions? So, an error, that's one thing. The same thing as we already saw is another thing. And what is the third alternative? I replaced the double quotes that used to be here with single quotes. So this first part of the string, when it's concatenated, the first part, I replace double quote with single quote. So will it be an error? Will they be the same thing, or will it be something different? The same? The suggestion is it will show this actual sequence of characters, meaning that it will show the text with backslash n. It will show the backslash n there, no new line. Suggested. So the three alternatives, you get exactly what you put in there. You get, as with double quotes, you get what's there, but the escape sequence is being escaped, or you get an error. These are the three chances. Think about it. I'm going to hit the button pretty soon. So it does indeed print the exact character sequence that you asked for. So that means that whenever you double quote, you get the characters that you put into it. So if you don't, if you're not going to escape anything, if you're not going to use any variables, use single quotes, because that's faster than for PHP. It knows that no replacement to do. I can just print whatever character string I have. If you do that, if you do want to have escapes like special characters, or do want it to compute or get an attribute value, then you have to use double quotes. But what we could do, of course, is that we could do in the old-fashioned way. We could do this and say, okay, I would like to concatenate that with this this here, and concatenate that with this string again. So you could do these things. I mean, you don't have to embed everything, so you can do the new line separately, and this will now be something quite similar to what we started. We won't see the last new line, but we'll see these two new lines. So, I mean, you can play around with a combination of fixed strings, so the, maybe it would be better here to say, okay, this variable here, I could do this instead. I concatenate, this is the, probably the way you would typically do it in PHP. You would say, I will concatenate this value with the string. You follow me? So what I just did here is, rather than having the value directly into the string, and then I can change this one. It doesn't have any characters to that will be escaped. So I can do this into a single quote. Although I wouldn't be able to do the one single quote there then. So then, so it wasn't a good idea. If I wanted that single quote, I could do it. Then I would have to escape that single quote in a different way. Okay, you get me? So you can play around with single quotes, double quotes. Difference is that within double quotes, you can actually get values from variables, and you can actually get escaped characters. In single quotes, you can't do that. You're going to get the text as is. And the dot operator is whatever you use for concatenation. Now, this takes some time, but that's hopefully we get to understand differences or some of the specialities of PHP. Question? To the editor? So the question is concatenation versus double quotes. What is better, what is not? And I think it's marginal, but in general, if you do this, then PHP will have to actually do the concatenation. If the string is already concatenated, it's going to be less work. So marginally, I would say that if you do the concatenation, it might be for readability or other purposes, but in general, but if you have a variable like this, I don't think it varies. It matters, because the most work is to get the attribute value, convert it to a string, and concatenate it. If you do it one or the other way, I don't think that matters. But if you have many constants and use concatenation between constants rather than make one long string, then I think there's a little bit of a penalty, but not much. But otherwise, most of the work is anyway going to get a variable, convert it to a string, and concatenate it. And I don't think it matters, the two alternatives. You could probably write up a single script and do a million of them and see if there's a measurable difference. I don't think you would worry about the difference. Now, exceptions. So, how many have dealt with exceptions before? Okay, the same quarter, or maybe less than 20% of you. So, you probably, in C++, you're probably seeing that when you make a function call, sometimes the function gets into an error state. Assume that you pass some parameters and the parameters are invalid. So then you need to tell back that this was invalid value. One common way of doing that is to have a return code. And if the return code is positive, you know it was a successful operation. If the return code is negative, it signifies some problem. And maybe you have different negative values to tell what the problem was. So that's a typical way to deal with problems. Now, a more object-oriented way to deal with problems is to deal with exceptions. So exceptions are just classes, different or objects of different classes, of exception classes. And when we deal with the exceptions, we talk about throwing an exception, and then when something wrong happens, the code that finds a problem would create an exception object and throw it out. And somewhere along the chain of calls, somebody needs to catch it, what you throw. It might be caught in the immediate function where the function was called, or if that doesn't catch it, it will keep on going until somebody catches it. And if nobody else catches it, it will be PHP interpreter that needs to handle it. And then execution stops. So if you look at the exception example, you will probably remember this from if you looked into let's see if you could do this much. If you looked into the code, and then you could see that inside the event object in the model of the MVC application, there's an event object, and the event object has a method to verify if a date is correct. Because when you pass a date, you would like the date in the database to be something that is valuable. So you'd like to do an integrity check, meaning that it should be valid. So what are the problems? One, it's not defined, so you pass an empty date, or you pass a date that's incorrectly formatted, or you pass a date that looks okay, but it's wrong because the values are wrong. The date doesn't exist. So those are the things, and that's what I put up here in the code. So first it says, okay, if there's nothing, then I would like it to tell date shouldn't be empty. Now, if it's passing this test, or if something happens there, then execution stops here, and it would throw the exception. So nothing more would happen. Exception is thrown, someone needs to catch it. If nobody catches it, and until it comes to the PHP interpreter, it will be handled by the PHP interpreter. Next thing is something that you don't have to worry so much about. It's some of you might have been doing regular expressions. If you haven't, it's a convenient tool for a computer scientist to know how to put together regular expressions. So here, what this regular expression is it says, okay, we assume that this string that we got starts with four digits that we think of as a year, a dash, two digits that we think of as the month, and dash, two digits that we think of as the day. So I'm going to parse it and put the year, month, and day into this date parts array. And if it doesn't match, if something else, if it doesn't start with four digits, if it doesn't continue with a dash and two digits, and dash and two digits, there will be an error. And I would then throw, or the code would then throw, an invalid argument exception, but now with a different message, different reason why it was thrown. And finally, when I have a date, so I know it has a year, four-digit year, it has a two-digit month, it has a two-digit day, what they're going to do is to use the checkDate function that the PHP has defined to see, is this an existing date? And then, if not, I will throw an exception. So this is the function, verifyDate, and what I'm doing here when I'm calling it is that I first print something so that we know where we are in the processing, and then we just verify this date. And if this is okay, then we do print this. If this date isn't okay, exception is going to be thrown, and PHP needs to handle it. So if we go here, let's see, if we make it, PHP exceptions. Okay, so now we get this, and some of you, if you've tried with the codeception, you've already seen quite a lot of these exceptions, most likely. So what's happening here is that you see here, it's trying to, the very top here, So when I start, the first thing it does is that, okay, we print out, we need to verify date before processing. So that one comes here. And then we get the fatal error. There is an invalid argument exception being thrown on us, and nobody has handled it. And what it says that the message is that invalidate value here at that point. So line 13. And why is that? Well, there aren't 37 days in the month of August. If I do this, what will then happen? Yeah. The date is empty, so we should expect this message. Let's see. Yeah, we have it saved. So date cannot be empty. Exactly. That's what we expect. And only if we do, let's say today is the 27th, isn't it? So if you do 27, date is okay. Because now there are no errors, no problems. If there were other problems, there would be an exception. If we have exceptions, our code should deal with it. We shouldn't leave it to PHP to deal with it, because that would mean that all of a sudden we throw this big problem on the user. And we should tell the user, please enter a valid date. We should dump all of this information on the user. So because of that, we should handle exceptions in our own code. And the way to do that is to here do a try. With exceptions, we can try. Sorry. And what we're going to try is this. So if I just run this and we make it back into the 37, the invalid one. If I try to run this, cannot use try without catch. Sorry, yeah, I had to have the catch. Catch, and let me do, yeah, let's do cat invalid argument exception. I thought I can skip that. So let's catch an exception. In this case, we catch the invalid argument exception. If you get one, you're going to catch it. And I hope I didn't expect to identify, yes. What happened now? Now all of a sudden it said date is okay for processing. And why is that? Well, we caught the exception, but we didn't do anything about it. So what we should do is to tell the user and ask them to do something else. In this case, we can just die. Well, we should tell the user somehow, but you can also just die. So, okay, we print out the first and then we die. Nothing happened after us. And what we could do to the user is, or at least we should somehow in the log somewhere, we should deal with the problem. But what we can do here is that we can do print just to see what's happening. And this E object has a guess get message function. So all the exception classes, they will inherit an exception superclass. It defines a get message method. So we can at least see here that we did get the exception. Oops. What did I do? E. I forgot the E. I talked while I was typing. You see, it stops, but it gives that message. But what we would do, and as you can see that the code example I've been looking at, if you get an exception, we will return an error page to the user and say, you need to enter a valid date, and we don't dump this error message directly onto the user. We just but don't do what we did before. Just quietly handle it. like this. I mean, we get away with the problem this way. But it looks like everything's okay. But the exception told us everything wasn't okay. So we should handle it one way or the other. Now, I realize that dying is a quite drastic way to deal with the problem. But that's an option here. So we just die. We can do that. But it would be better to give the control back to the user. Say, okay, please enter a valid date. That's what caused this problem. A question? Yeah, so the question was about the get message. Where did that come from? The get message comes from, can we maybe take the break now? Because I think this is going to be more than 1 minute that we should have for the break. And we could start there after the break and say how the event class hierarchy looked like. And we can look into the events, or the exception.